At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Come on over here. Good luck. How are you all doing this morning? Now, do you all remember what this tree is? Jesse tree, that's right. Do y'all know what this is right here? It is a flower. More specifically, this is a poinsettia. And we've got some poinsettias around the church, right, in the windows and things of this nature. The poinsettia is obviously a flower, but it's long been a symbol of the star that led the wise men to baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And the red poinsettias, the red symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ, and the white symbolizes the purity of Christ. And today is Epiphany Sunday, and we celebrate. Well, you can see your way later. Today we celebrate and recognize the wise men coming to Jesus and offering him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And one of the reasons we give gifts during Christmas is because of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. And so today I want us to be mindful of the trip that the wise men took. I want us to remember the star that led them to Jesus. And how all of these symbols that we have, the Christmas tree, the Jesse tree, the ornaments, the poinsettias, all of these things are meant to point us to Jesus. All these things are meant to point us to this child who brings us salvation. So we're going to pray, and then you all can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the star that led the wise men, Lord, and for all of these symbols that we have that continue to point us to Jesus. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for these children and for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. And we pray that you would continue to bless them as they continue to grow into the men and women that you've called them to be. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can head to Children's Church. You follow Miss Vicky. Our scripture lesson this morning, as I alluded to just a moment ago, comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We have here the story of the wise men coming to Jesus. It's only found in Matthew. We don't have the wise men showing up in any of the other Gospels. And so Matthew gives us a very unique perspective on this Christ child. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for this season, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray you would be with the words you have given me to speak today. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The season, the day of Epiphany, celebrates God's revelation to us in Jesus Christ. That is what the term means, God's revelation in Jesus Christ. We have another Epiphany in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit arrives, and we have God revealing himself in that way as well. But on Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate God's specific revelation through Jesus Christ. And we celebrate also the coming of the Magi, the wise men who came and brought their gifts to this child. The Magi, or the wise men, as we typically refer to them, follow the star to the Christ child. And in so doing, they are never the same again. They have been changed, and they will never see or act the same way again. They cannot return the way that they came, nor can they return to being the way that they were before. Now, I'm sure all of us in here this morning can think of certain events or certain people in our lives that after having an encounter with them, we will never be the same. We will forever be changed. And this happens both positively and negatively. And we are today a product of our experiences in life. And I think for us today, the great epiphany that we need to be mindful of, that the wise men were mindful of and that they showcase, is that it's not the events or the people that have changed us, but it's how we respond to these events. It's how we respond to these people that will change us, either for the good or for the bad. Things happen. Life happens. And how we respond will often dictate how we are and how we live and how we move and have our being. We see how the Magi respond. We'll see also here in a few moments how Herod and how the Jews respond. And I hope and pray today that we, like the Magi, will respond in a positive way to the epiphany that takes place in our own lives. Because indeed, the wise men only experience the epiphany because of how they respond to the signs that they have seen, the things that have taken place. They see this star, they see this astrological phenomena, whatever it may have actually been, and they know that something great, something tremendous is going to happen. They know enough of the scriptures and of the prophecy to know that this is the sign of a new king being born. And so they want to go and see this new king. They want to bring gifts to this new king. They want to, it almost seems, turn their loyalties over to this king. And when they come to Herod and they hear from the Jews, they are affirmed in the fact that it's in this area, and they're told specifically that it is going to take place in Bethlehem. And their response to this star, to the things that are taking place, is that they want to worship and honor this new king. This is not just any king. This is not just another human being. This is something more. And they know that. And they are responding in kind. There are some that have seen the wise men as a superstitious group, right? Astrologers who are looking and seeing these things and wanting to just kind of satisfy their own curiosity. But they're not this superstitious group. They are learned individuals who know that something tremendous has happened. They are curious and they are expectant. I find it interesting that in a few short months, in August, we're going to have a lot of people traveling to this area of the world to see some astrological phenomena. Dun, 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 phenomena. Dun, dun, dun. No, I'm just kidding. They're going to come and they're going to watch this solar eclipse. And we wouldn't consider these people superstitious, right? But they're coming to see something that doesn't happen every day. They're coming to see something that is going to be great and is going to be beyond words as they experience this. And that's what the wise men were doing. The wise men understood this to be a sign of celebration. Herod and the Jews, however, in verse 3, see it as a sign of trouble. Now, if you know anything about Herod or the Herod family, you know that they're a very paranoid group. Herod was not unfamiliar with killing off people in his own family who he thought were trying to usurp his role as king. And the Jews were well aware of this. So they're not troubled at the fact that their Messiah may possibly be born, but they're troubled that Herod knows that this has possibly taken place in verse 3. And I find it interesting, and maybe you do too, that the chief priests and legal experts who affirm and kind of remind and show the wise men where this is going to take place, what do? After they tell them where this is supposed to happen? Nothing. They don't do anything. They don't follow these guys to see if this is really the case. Herod doesn't follow them to see if this is really the case. They're either blind or ignorant to the signs that are taking place. And it's only the Gentile magi who go to see this newborn king. I find that so fascinating. Here they have been told from other people that they think this is what's taking place, and they're not even curious enough to go and look. When Jesus is told, or when the disciples are told that Jesus raises from the dead, at least Peter and the other disciple were curious enough to go and look. But these people do nothing. And I wonder this morning, in those moments where Christ has showed up in our lives, do we respond by going to see, or do we do nothing? History can show us very plainly what the church tends to do, unfortunately. Our first response isn't typically to worship and honor the king, as these wise men do. The second thing they do is that they respond by giving him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, they understand that they cannot come to royalty without a gift of some kind. It just wouldn't be a good thing to do. And what's interesting is they come bringing these gifts to Herod's house, assuming that the king has been born here. And when they find out that he's not been born here, though they're in the house of royalty, they have no gifts for Herod. And you know, that's got to make him a little angry. Would you be angry if there were no gifts for you under the tree on Christmas? If your stocking was empty? I'd be a little peeved, I'm sure. They respond, these wise men, with a willingness to humble themselves before a child. They respond with a willingness to be changed. Some have seen that these are kings that come, and here they are humbling themselves before this child. Like us, these wise men don't fully expect the change that's going to take place, nor can they. They can't really know what to expect with what's going on. But they do know beyond any doubt whatsoever that they will encounter a king and that they have encountered a king after they leave. After encountering Jesus, after having this moment, this time spent with him, these magi cannot go back the way they came. They cannot backtrack. They cannot return because they have now been changed by this entire series of events and by the encounter of this person, this child. Only a new way is going to suffice. Only another path is going to make sense. They cannot backtrack. They cannot go the way they came. To go back the way they came would put them and others in danger, specifically this child. They're warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. And they know that probably if they do, after Herod learns what he needs to learn, he may put these guys to death. Certainly the child will be susceptible to this death, to the anger of this king. They must go back another way, because their loyalty is to a new king. When we encounter Christ, we must go back another way, because our loyalty is to this king. Going back the same way would discredit the significance of this divine encounter. Have you ever experienced God? And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was a divine encounter, but you refuse to let it change you in any way. I'm guilty of that from time to time. And I have discredited the significance of the encounter that has taken place. I've not allowed it to change me the way that it was supposed to. These magi see things differently. They see things through God's lens. They're no longer concerned with what they want to do. It's easy to go back the way you came because you've been that way before. Now they are setting out on a new path, a new adventure, something that is scary, it is frightening, it is unknown. We call this repentance. And we know that repentance is that complete turnaround in one's life, turning 180 degrees from the way you were to the way you want to be because of your encounter with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. You can't be the way that you were, nor can you go the way that you came. And I want us to think back to those epiphany moments in our lives. When was the last encounter you had with Christ? And how are you different after that encounter? Maybe a better question is, are you different after that encounter? The way we come to Christ, you see, is riddled with danger, with peril, with darkness, with ignorance. It's only by God's grace that we get there at all. The new road that we travel after our epiphany has many of those same dangers, many of those same perils, but we can now see them because of the light of Christ. Because we have had this encounter, now our way is lightened. God's grace shines light on our path. And so while those obstacles are still there, now we're the ones choosing whether or not to step in them or to be blocked by them. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it because you saw it coming. Because you can't not see it coming with the light of Christ guiding you. How will we respond to this event, to these persons that we encounter? It's up to us to decide this morning. Christ is not going to make us do one thing or another. He's going to show us, and he's going to expect it of us. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we will have the opportunity to participate in here in a few moments, we get to experience what these magi experienced. Like the magi, we will come from where we are, and we will humble ourselves at his table. We will not bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we will bring the gift of ourselves wholeheartedly to him. And we will receive his gift of himself wholeheartedly to us. We will come down one side of the church and we will return a different way. Changed. At least I hope we do. We'll see what happens. We won't allow it to keep us in the same way, because we know that if we go back the way we came, what we're going to do is bump into other people, get in the way, and the flow will be different. This morning, as we consider Epiphany, as we consider Jesus Christ, as we consider this new year, I pray and I hope that we won't backtrack. I pray that we won't go the way that we came. I pray that we will allow Jesus to show us something new. And not just to show us something new, but I pray that we'll take his hand as he leads us that way. I pray that we will not respond in fear like Herod and the Jews, but we will boldly go where Jesus is leading us, wherever that may be. And I'm going to give you a homework assignment today. I'm going to ask that you do your best when you leave this place to go home a different way. If it's at all possible, it may be out of the way, it may take you longer, but I want to encourage you to go home a different way today. We've all got our routines, we've all got our routes, we've all got these things that we always do. Let's be those Sunday drivers that annoy us so much when we get behind them, and let's just take a new way home and just allow ourselves to see Elkton, to see this new year, to see things a little bit differently. You know the way you came. You know the way back. You know other ways back. So take another way back. Just see. Well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. You got two entrances to your house. Yes, it is. And yes, I will. But I would encourage us with that this morning. I want to just give us that little homework so that we can get, again, a sense of what these Magi experienced. So that we can get a fuller sense of this community, of this place where we live. There are things that we see so often. We see it every day, and so it's become something that we just don't see anymore. So let's go a different way and just see what we see that maybe we have forgotten about. And let's allow Christ to continue to shine his light and his epiphany upon us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for this season, for this time of epiphany. We pray that you would allow us and encourage us to be those people who seek you at all costs, who do not back down from fear, but that we take those new challenges that come our way, and that we see you, and that we trust in you wholeheartedly. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.